Back with you on The Takeaway, I'm Shamitha Basu.
Have you ever seen a commie drink a glass of water?
What?
Why do you want a little bit? Because if you're going to drink, I'd rather you do it in the house.
Why do you think I'm calling you? Just to say hello?
Did you see the memo about this?
And you won't be angry?
I will not be angry.
This is healthy. This is good.
That's the intro music that used to accompany these fine folks.
2011, 1966, and 1914. Which of these years, if you had to choose, which of these years would you go back to?
Oh, man. Not 1914. Everyone's about to die.
Doesn't sound that great, does it?
The Great War. They didn't use the word great correctly in that one. It was not great.
That, of course, is Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday and longtime contributor to The Takeaway, and Kristen Meinzer, a culture critic and the author of How to Be Fine. If these voices sound familiar, it's because Rafer and Kristen hosted the Takeaway Movie Date podcast, which ended back in early 2016. But since then, they told us longtime fans have been getting back in touch and asking for recommendations on what to watch in the era of COVID-19. So Rafer and Kristen have reunited to create a new podcast called Movie Therapy. And we're so excited to have them back here on The Takeaway to talk about their movie prescriptions for this moment. Welcome back to the show, Kristen and Rafer.
Hi, we're Shamitha. So excited to be back.
Excited to have you. Well, Kristen, it sounds like you definitely got a nudge from old fans, but why did you two want to get back together again to talk about movies at this time?
Oh, well, Rafer and I have always enjoyed going to movies together and talking about movies, and I think we always thought it'd be great if at some point we could work together again. But then, you know, old listeners reached out and kind of asked us to, so that gave us the nudge to do it, and we understand why. They are at home more than ever, and a lot of people are needing some comfort. A lot of people are watching more TV than they ever have in their lives. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily know what to watch, and in some cases, people really just want a movie or a TV show that's going to speak to their particular feelings, whether those feelings are I want to kill my husband, he's driving me nuts, or I need a vacation from my kids, or I need a good cry, whatever it is.
Rafer, how do you think movies can be therapeutic at a time like this?
Well, I think movies, first and foremost, you know, whether you want to admit it or not, they really are just an escape. You know, when I was a kid and I fell in love with movies, it was because they were a real escape. You could go into this fantasy world and you could kind of maybe see your best self on screen. You could sort of see the world as you'd like it to be, the way you wanted it to be. So there's a lot of escapist elements to that. I know, you know, film critics and film snobs will talk about how movies are supposed to reflect reality and you want to see deep things with a lot of nuance and things that are believable and convincing and, you know, show the world and all its realism. But I think when you really get down to it, they're wish fulfillment and they're fantasies and they're dreams. And so I think they can be pretty helpful at a time like this.
Kristen, what are some of the most common things that people have been writing to you about and asking for you to sort of solve for them with movie suggestions?
Oh, well, I already mentioned a few of them. You know, some folks are really feeling a little bit tense with the other people under their roof right now. Mm-hmm. Some people are feeling quite anxious. But also we have people who very commonly write to us saying they're addicted to reading the news. They stay up late just scrolling through their phones. Mm. And we've been hearing a lot just in the last few days from people who have canceled summer plans and are worried about that and are thinking about what they can do to replace that.
Yeah, so tell us what your recommendations are for those people who are in news overload land. Rafer, do you want to describe what you're telling people to watch?
Yeah, sure. You know, I think what you want at a time like this, like I said, is something that would kind of get you out of this bubble and get you to a happier place. You know, it's mm-hmm. funny, there are a lot of movies that come out over the years that are kind of trivial and insubstantial, where not much happens. And I always sniff at those movies back in the day, although now during the pandemic, they seem a lot better to me in hindsight. And one of the ones that I might recommend is a little movie by Jon Favreau called Chef, which came out in 2014, made a little bit of a splash, but wasn't a big hit. You know, he's the guy that did the Iron Man movie and the first Iron Man. He did the recent Lion King.
Yeah.
Usually a big budget director, you know, he usually works with a lot of money, but he did this little small personal film in 2014 where he plays a chef who has a meltdown on social media, becomes the laughingstock of the foodie world. He's unemployable. Starts out at the bottom, has to drive a food truck, drives it with his son, and of course it does so well that they drive it across the country, and everything ends terrific. And it's one of these movies that has no plot, no conflict, no villain of any kind, but it's got a great cast, Scarlett Johansson and John Leguizamo and Amy Sedaris, small role for Robert Downey Jr., he's in it, and it's just one of those forget your troubles movies. It's the kind of thing that would have been like a blockbuster during the Great Depression or something, and you know, like I say, I didn't lavish it with praise at the time, but you know, in the middle of a pandemic, I think it might be the thing to watch.
You know, in my household, we literally put on a kid's film the other day, and it's just me and my husband here. We watched the animated film Rio. We were just feeling overloaded.
Yes.
We needed to see some dancing and singing parrots, and it was just perfect, yeah. Sort of. Now, Kristen, we have about a minute or two left. You talked about people who might be missing their summer plans or maybe travel plans. What are your prescriptions for that?
Yeah, well, one of my most basic prescriptions is always, if you're going to go on a trip, watch a movie that will get you in the mood for that. So even if you can't go on that road trip, maybe watch a movie like National Lampoon's Vacation so you can get that road trip feeling. Maybe watch a movie that takes place once in each stop along the way. If your kids were going to be going to some sort of day camp this summer, maybe you can do something like watch adventure movies together that kind of give them that sense of excitement of going off into the world, like Troop Zero that is on Netflix right now, or, you know, different kinds of movies that capture their imagination as kids, like Back to the Future, something that you can vote together as a family on, let's watch this movie tonight, or have the kids pick out the movies, and then next week you can pick out the movies as grown-ups and you can take turns. Mm-hmm. And one other thing, you don't have to stop having adventures just because you're at home. You can try maybe creating a drive-in movie experience in your backyard or on your front driveway by projecting movies there. And then you can still feel like you're going on maybe a little vacation just by watching a movie outside.
Nice. We have just a little bit of time left, so I'm going to try and squeeze this in. Do you have any recommendations for people who are actually wanting to lean into the dystopia of our current reality?
Oh, so many. Yes. Rafer and I disagree on this, but I think a lot of people enjoy leaning in.
Yeah,
he's not
sure.
One to lean in.
But, well, Kristen, what are your favorites?
I think it's great to watch a show like Grey's Anatomy, something that's kind of a procedural where there's an answer at the end of the episode. There's disaster happening everywhere. Things are beeping. People are on gurneys. But at the end of the episode, you always get an answer. And I think that can be comforting for a lot of people because there aren't a lot of answers right now. So sometimes leaning in, seeing a beginning, a middle, and an end, and then on the next episode, there's a whole new problem. That can be very comforting.
So, Rafer, even though you're not a huge fan of the dystopian movies for this moment, do you have any recommendations? Maybe dystopian films that have a sense of optimism?
Yeah, not too many do. You know, one movie that I always find myself going back to these days is the old John Carpenter movie, Escape from New York, where New York has become the giant prison, and Kurt Russell has to go inside and rescue the downed president and, you know, drag him back out of New York, and all the prisoners are trying to keep him there because they want to hold him hostage. And it's just a great, you know, then as now, it was just a perfect metaphor for Manhattan. And it's a lot of fun, and it's got that great John Carpenter over the top, really vivid feel to it. And it's always been a real favorite of mine, and, you know, and it's not a dystopian movie that, you know, is going to, you know, make you too depressed, not like Handmaid's Tale or something like that, you know?
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. I sometimes need to take a break from some of those kinds of films and TV shows. Yeah,
right.
I've heard from some people that they are rewatching movies that they've watched many, many times before at this moment. And I know that I tend to do this a lot. And I sometimes feel guilty about it because I know there's so many great movies that I haven't seen before that I should probably be watching. Should I feel guilty? Have you heard this from other people?
Oh, yes. We've heard it from a lot of people. And there are actually some studies that indicate that it is a good thing to do to help ease anxiety, to watch a movie or a TV show where we already know what this character is going to say next, and we already know what's going to happen in this scene and the scene after, and we know there's going to be a happy ending, because there aren't going to be any surprises. There aren't going to be any things that, you know, throw us off kilter, because all of it is predictable. All of it's comforting. Even the scary parts are comforting because we know they're coming. And I think that's totally fine. I've been doing the same thing. I've been watching an episode of Little House on the Prairie at least 3 times a week since this has started. It was a show that I just absolutely adored growing up. It was in syndication after school every day for many, many, many years in Minnesota. And it was such a huge part of my life. And yes, I think I know every episode by heart, but it still makes me feel good just to sit down and watch something I know by heart right now.
Rafer, what's something that you like to watch that just makes you feel at ease and comforted?
Well, you know, I think having two kids, both boys, 9 and 12, and my poor wife, surrounded by men in the house. But, you know, we're big action guys. And so, you know, this has been a lot of fun to go back and watch all the old great Harrison Ford action films, which they've just loved. The Fugitive, we saw Air Force One. And, you know, they're really corny. They're really well made, though, too, and a lot of fun. They still really hold up as entertainment. My older kid, I guess you would think, being the son of a movie critic, he would be a little different, but he always says, "I don't like dramas. I just want comedy, action, or action comedy."
So, you know, these movies have been
exactly. I don't think he wants to dwell on feelings a lot. And so these have been perfect, and, you know, and they're fun. And who doesn't love Harrison Ford? So next up might be Witness. We're trying to decide whether the kids can handle that one. So, you know, these old kind of, you know, 80s, 90s action films, I find they're pretty fun, and they're new to my kids. So they fit the bill.
Do you have any recommendations for people who are thinking that this is a great time to bone up on their classics, on the Criterion Collection, or anything that they feel like, wow, that's in the canon. I need to watch that.
I would say it really depends on what kind of household you're in. You know, if you don't have kids, then, you know, maybe you're free to go through that. I don't have the luxury of that. I did put on not too long ago Le Vampire. It's the French silent serial about the kind of the cat burglars that crawl in and out of people's houses. It's this, you know, very influential French series, silent film. Not a lot of people are going to watch that. I really enjoyed that. But, you know, let's be honest, if I'm watching that starting at about 9:30 p.m., there's just only so much of that I'm going to be able to stay awake for. You know, even me, Mr. Film Critic, you know, I'm not going to be able to stay up until 11 or 12 p.m. watching old silent films. So I don't know. I would kind of say that people should maybe give themselves a bit of a break on that, and not try to bite off too much. And, you know, I don't know if you want to sit through, you know, Berlin Alexanderplatz at this point in time. I really advise going for the feel good stuff.
Kristen, what are your thoughts on classics?
Well, if you're going to do classics, I am going to vote that you go in for some fun ones, for the same reason that Rafer said. Like, you know, a lot of the classics during this time might put you to sleep. They might be too much to concentrate on. And I'm also a big believer that during this time, you don't have to live your best pandemic. You don't have to walk out of this having accomplished a lot. If you don't want to, that's fine. You can just relax. But if you are going to dip your toes into something like the Criterion Collection, maybe start with something fun. Like, one movie that I like quite a bit that's on the Criterion Collection is Destry Rides Again, in which Jimmy Stewart and Marlena Dietrich, he is a man who's essentially the sheriff of the small western town, and he doesn't use guns. Marlena Dietrich is a very smart-talking saloon gal. They you know, overcome bad guys. They get up to no good. There are lots of laughs in it. So maybe if you're going to get into the Criterion Collection, maybe start with those kinds of movies where you can laugh and maybe learn a little bit of something about, you know, who these big stars were back then. You know, if you've never seen a Marlena Dietrich movie, if you've never seen a Jimmy Stewart movie, maybe this is a good place to start.
I wonder if you two are coming up with little sort of projects for people, or if anyone's asked to be assigned or given a whole list of movies to watch. Like the other day, my husband and I decided, because we really enjoyed watching Parasite, the Bong Joon-ho film.
Such a good movie. Yep.
Best film last year, and he won Best Director. And so we decided to go back and start watching some other Bong Joon-ho films, and we really enjoyed it. We watched Okja, which was fantastic really enjoyable. And then we watched his film Snowpiercer, which about people who are the last remaining people on Earth who are all on this one train together. And for me, that was really intense. And maybe it's the intensity of being locked in my house or something that it just kind of messed with my mind. Are you coming up with any sets or sort of projects for people to take on?
Yes, I've absolutely recommended larger watching projects. For example, we have had parents write in saying, I'm just so overwhelmed with the kids being at home at all hours while I'm trying to still work a full-time job, and I'm supposed to somehow be a teacher right now when I am not a good teacher, and I need a break from my kids. And in those cases, I'll sometimes give them a long list of TV shows that you can have your kids watch guilt-free. You don't have to feel bad about your kid watching, 20 hours a week of Mr. Rogers, Sesame Street, and then Dolly Parton reading bedtime stories to you, for example. So sometimes I'll come up with a bigger prescription like that.
That is a guilt-less playlist right there. I wonder if you could both leave us with one last recommendation, maybe a great new-ish movie, a movie that's come out in the past couple of years that you love recommending to people?
One that we recommended to a listener a while back, somebody who was really missing New York and just sort of the feel of walking around the neighborhood. We recommended Top Five, the Chris Rock movie, where he's just sort of plays a version of himself. He's with Rosario Dawson, who plays a journalist. And they just kind of spend sort of a day and a night walking around New York and, kind of meeting people and talking and meeting his friends and family. And it's just this really fun, lively kind of love letter to New York. I know that's kind of a cliche, but it really is. And it's not a long ago film, so it really does kind of capture the New York that you remember. Mm-hmm. And it's very funny and fun. And we recommended that one, and I thought that was a good pick on our part.
Rafer Guzman is a film critic for Newsday, and Kristen Meinzer is a culture critic and the author of the book How to Be Fine. And together, they are the hosts of the podcast Movie Therapy. Thank you to both of you for coming back on The Takeaway.
Thank you.